Alrighty. Well, my name is Carla C, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And I came into the program 6 years ago. And my abstinent date is January 25th, 2019. So yesterday was my 6 year anniversary of being free from sugar. In the program. So I've been in a little bit longer than that. It took me a bit to get free from that. So my top weight was 333 pounds. I spent a lot of my life at the 300 pound mark as an adult. I'm considerably less than that. I'm down 130 pounds from that. So not at a goal weight yet, but it's progress, not perfection. I have some pictures, and we'll start from when I was a kid and how cute I was. See, that's how cute I was at 8 years old. So I'm the girl in the middle. That's my skinny little sister down there and my skinny big brother up there, and I was the middle child. My mom, I remember her being very soft my whole life. So she carried some extra weight. She had a rough childhood, and food scarcity was part of that. And so she was determined, when she met this good guy that was my dad, that nothing like that was going to ever happen with her kids. She was very food focused, and made sure that dessert was on the table for dad every night. Because of course he needed it. I don't know. It's so funny because if you see a picture of this group of us, all of us gain weight. My sister and brother are pretty heavy, and my sister has had some surgeries and stuff like that. So, but struggles with weight to this day. So, and in fact, all of my mother's grandchildren also struggle with weight. They were all, influenced by that. She was very proud of her cooking, and she came from she came from a non-cooking household. Her mother was a working mother who left the kids to their own devices a lot. So there was not, she took her Betty Crocker cookbook, and man, she used that thing. It was not readable by the time she was through with it. It was so stained up. And a lot of our favorite recipes were in that. And we're in that. And it was dessert every night for dinner. It was there wasn't a birthday without, plenty of treats. There wasn't Halloween without plenty. Christmas was a I have pictures of I w should include that, but we have a dining room table that seats 12, and we would the day after Thanksgiving we'd start making the cookies to fill that, and then divide them up, and that would be our supply for the whole Christmas season. So and my dad, that he was hog heaven. That was hog heaven for him. So there are a lot of special memories in my head tied to celebrations and eating. So for me it is so bound up in love and being a part of. And the celebration, it always involved food. And so to tease that out has been a really kind of a long process for me. So this is skipping forward. I'm probably about 12 in this case, and you can see I'm hiding behind everybody so that you can't see, and I spent my whole teenagerhood in sweaters, no matter what the temperatures were outside in Southern California, and behind pillows, when I was sitting, because I didn't want anybody to see my rolls of fat. My brother and my sister continued to be, normal normies, normal weight people. And my brother was maybe the number one teaser of me, and would, come up with songs with weight in them and, sing them for me. And so he was definitely, why didn't he do that to my mom? Well, let's see. He probably get beaten. There was no way. Nobody did that with my mom, but I was a good target for him because I would cry. So that was pretty much it. And then if you fast forward that, this is that 333 pounds, how that looked on me. And like I said, most of my adult life, I was more this shape. Mostly this size, most of my adult life. So I've had 6 years where I haven't had to be that, and pretty relieved by that. So it was kind of an interesting life. I did find OA when I was in my late 20s, and I know I stayed and did a couple steps. I remember doing a fourth step, and I remember giving it away, so I guess that means I did the fifth step, but nothing after that. That's pretty much where it ended, because at the time, I met this guy in the OA rooms, and he was on the chunky side, but he looked pretty good. He was around 220, looked great, and he was interested in me, and therefore we started dating. And when he proposed, I agreed to marry him. And it took us a year from when we met until we got married. And at that point, I don't really know, and you think I would know because I was there. I don't know why I walked away from OA at that point. But there was something about, and it may have been that, I was getting married, we were starting a family, and so I had, basically, what my mom had thought I would always have. And mind you, at the time I was actually working as an engineer, so it's not like I was going to be a stay-at-home mom or anything like that. And there were a lot of pressures involved in starting a marriage, starting a family, having kids, and then handing them off to babysitters. And it part of that just felt wrong because that's not how I grew up. I grew up that the mom was the caretaker of the children in the home, and that traditional kind of thing was always at war with what I thought I should be doing. And I was always trying to, catch up, always trying to, be the best mom ever, because I thought my mom was, too opinionated and didn't allow us to grow, didn't allow us to have our own opinions. So I was going to be a better mom than my mom. And and then at work I was going to be the best engineer, because then they couldn't say crap to me. They'd stay off my case. And just all those pressures on all the sides. Not only that, but I married this guy, and once I married this guy, the problem started, and it wasn't his fault. It's that, it was kind of the way our path of life went. When we got married, there was an angry ex-wife on the outside who decided, to make trouble with our marriage. And so we had the angry ex-wife, and then we started having kids, and the second one was really, really sick when he was born. And you just it was like one thing after another. So it wasn't this, this married bliss kind of life. There was always a crisis. This was in the middle of, that changeover from the 1990s to the year 2000, and all that entailed with the recession and all of that. And at one point we were chasing jobs and unemployed, and I decided at that point that maybe teaching was for me, and I'd go into teaching instead. bed, and that was kind of wild, you know, to walk away from a decent salary. It's not like I had a choice. They actually closed our company in the recession, and we were going to have to leave the state if I was going to continue being an engineer. My husband was making an outstanding salary, and it was looking great. And then his job went away too. Surprise. So we basically, you know, moved in with my parents, which, you know, was its own special kind of, you know, hell on one hand, and you know, you're so grateful on the other hand. But you know, my mom and her opinions continued. You know, she was really a unique individual, so it was difficult. It was hard. And I can say that I did lose some weight there because I didn't particularly like her cooking. So, don't tell her. Don't nobody tell her that. Okay, she's up in heaven now. She doesn't care. She's laughing. She's having a good time. But yeah, that was tough. So I started teaching and trying to be the best teacher ever and the best mom ever. And, you know, then my kids started having special needs. My daughter blew out her knee. My daughter became, you know, mentally ill. My son, always struggled and was always, you know, maybe on the autistic spectrum, but, always struggled in school. And, you know, so it was not the idyllic, easy, you know, things falling together. We weren't a family with money that could get kids into water polo or football or anything like that. So, you know, so there was always that sense of failure. And I would eat, and so for that, I would eat just like my mom taught me to do. So, at that weight, at that 300 pounds, I was watching. My mother was fully diabetic and on insulin, and so that was in the cards for me. And I was watching those blood sugars go up and up and up. And I was pre-diabetic for a long time, and I thought, yeah, I'm beating this. I'm pre-diabetic. I'm not diabetic like mom. Yeah, until I was. And then I became diabetic. I controlled it with medication. I didn't need to use insulin yet. When my blood sugars crossed over into the 295 was the highest I ever had as a fasting blood sugar. You'd think that OA would have occurred to me as a possibility at that point. And I was not ready to do that. So what I was ready for was a medical answer, and that was bariatric surgery, especially when I heard that it would resolve diabetes. So I was pretty I'd always, you know, I had a friend that had a really bad outcome from bariatric surgery. I thought it was risky, but once I saw that number at 295, it's like, what the hell? That's pretty dang risky too. So I went ahead and got ready for the surgery, had it, got my blood sugars down almost immediately. You know, while I was still in the hospital, they were like 105, you know, down. Just it really, really worked well for that for a while. And in the back of my head, I knew that the success I had had before in OA, I was going to need that again. I was going to need to be in OA. You know, I don't know what I thought, you know, I got from OA the first time around. I know I worked the steps, and I know I had a good food plan. That's really what I got out of OA in the first time around. And I guess there was something in it that told me that I needed to be back in OA, and and I didn't do it though. I didn't do it. I tried bringing my sister, my daughter to Skivvy, you know, and she wasn't really interested in OA. So it's like, okay, well, I couldn't go just for me. You know, I would go for my daughter, but I wouldn't go just for me. And so I d did the bariatric surgery, and it would gave me free rein to eat what I felt like. And I ate, pretty constantly. I was eating plenty of sugar. And the funny thing about sugar and carbs is that they are super easy to digest. And what's not super easy to digest is chicken and salad, not so easy. So what's really, really easy are all those simple carbs, and I could eat a lot of them, and I had no consequence for a very, very long time, for about 2 years. And then all of a sudden, it started crossing over, and then I was pre-diabetic again. I found a meeting. That meeting that I took my daughter to was still running Saturday morning at Skivvy, Jerry. That was the meeting. And I didn't go. I found actually a Friday noon meeting that was right by my school, and I could sneak out at lunch. And perfect. But I would procrastinated. I wouldn't go, wouldn't go, wouldn't go, wouldn't go. I had great crazy break loose at home, with two of my family members doing this, doing basically what I was doing with food, they were doing with alcohol. They were death drinking alcohol the way that I was death eating food. So, and with that, I was just at a complete loss. We did not have alcoholism in my family. I was completely inexperienced with it. My daughter and I, as fast as we could pour things out, they were buying new bottles. And it was nuts. And I didn't know what to do. And so I was eating and going crazy, and I knew I needed to preserve myself for my daughter by going to OA, picked out a meeting, did not go. On the day my husband went into detox, for some reason, that left me free to go on Friday to the little OA meeting that I had picked out. And that was my first meeting, in 26 years, back to OA. The other meetings I've gone to Skivvy were for my daughter. They weren't for me. So, this time I came in with the gift of desperation. I came in hard. This time I knew where my path was leading. I knew it was a long, slow, debilitating death, that we choose to face rather than recover. I made the decision to set aside everything that this engineering brain knew and open my ears to whatever you guys had to tell me. And I lifted, I listened like my life depended on it, because it did. In that Friday morning, I heard the chapter 3 passage for the first time, more about alcoholism, that food is cunning, baffling, and powerful, and that without help, it was too much for me. I heard that, we're like men who have lost our legs. We don't grow new ones, And I heard the acceptance reading for the first time, and there were parts of that thing that ticked me off. But the one part about, that acceptance is the answer to all of my problems today, really, really struck a chord with me. That little Friday meeting accepted me. They had hope for me. They listened to my struggles. I was so upset. On January 25th, which was the it happened to be the close of the semester, which is like go time for teachers. So, I knew I had this massive, grading project that was going to be take all weekend to do, and to have my classes ready and set up to have brand new classes on, January 28th. On that day, I was in tears. I told them I was not able to stay abstinent. I was not able to stay out of the sugar, and I would find myself with it in my mouth without even, realizing it. And one of the old timers asked me if I was abstinent right then at noon, and I was. I'm like, duh, yeah, I don't really eat in the morning. I eat later. So it was noon, and she asked me for a plan for lunch and a plan for dinner, and told me that that day, all I needed to do was to make it to the pillow that night to have day one. And that was my first day without eating sugar for decades. That's been so now we're at 6 years out from that, and it hasn't always been easy. But I can tell you today that I couldn't care less about Portos, about Yum Yum, about Donut Man donuts, or any of those other things that teachers, oh, teachers, and their goodies, oh my gosh, on their desks and the district office sending us cookies. I just didn't care. I didn't care. And in fact, I was able to get them to add like a side of fruit with the coffee, and things like that. Who knew that they would accommodate me? We accommodate kids up the wazoo, but so I was able to not feel left out, and I could have a plate with something on it, and I could be one of the curves. So that is my experience. That is my strength. So my experience is what it was like. My strength is how I found program, how I got into program, and my hope is about what I'm learning today. So I've gone through the 12 steps 4 times with 3 different sponsors. Since I returned, I'm getting ready to go through them again with yet another sponsee. So it's different each time because I'm different each time. Each time I've experienced a transformation in my mind, whether I'm maintaining or losing my weight. I am down over 40 pounds since I walked in January 2019. I'm not at goal weight, but I am also not gaining, which is that's a, such a victory for me, because most of my life I've been gaining, 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 gaining. I found out I was salvageable. I found out I was worthy to be saved. I learned that my obsession with fear was shutting me off from living my life and shutting me off from my higher power. I've learned that the love I need from my food is to nourish my body, not to feed my obsession, not to do damage to myself, certainly. I've learned that each of my family members has their own higher power that is working with them on their recovery, and it's not me, nor do I need to interfere with that power's work. I've learned that this life was meant to be faced on God's terms, not mine, and I have faith now that whatever comes, that my higher power and I can handle together. I was in the pews for a long time at church and never, never, never was able to surrender myself to the God that I met in church. And I went to loving churches. However, it was my view of that higher power. I was afraid that that higher power was looking at me with disappointment in his eyes. What a screw up. And I'd seen that disappointment in my parents' eyes. My mom would always say, "Oh yeah, Carla promises the world and never follows through." And that's true. That's who I was. I would not follow through. I would either procrastinate because of fear, or I would overcommit because of fear, because I was afraid that I'd be looked down on for not being, the best kid ever, the best engineer ever, the best teacher ever, the best mom ever, and she was right. She was right. I was letting people down right and left. So, I do have regrets over the 26 years it took me to get back here. What a different life I would have had. What a lot of heartache and drama and good health it would have saved. And, my children struggle with eating. They enjoy eating, but they struggle with weight. They do not like being overweight, and they are. My whole family went through bariatric surgery the same day, or not the same day, the same year that I did. And we've all been in various stages of gaining that weight back. So, That's a tough one. That was a tough one. That was part of my amends, was to do a living amends with my kids to be, as good of an example. Wrap it up. Is that what you're saying? Okay, I will. Meaning I'm going way over. Okay, so there is a 9-step promise that will not regret the past or wish to shut the door on it, no matter how far down the scale we've gone. We'll see how our experience can benefit others. And I learned to trust in my higher power. And ex I have experienced serenity today because of that. And I don't know how I could manage life that I have right now with that. I am back where I was when I first started OA this time around, where I have someone who is struggling with actively drinking. And again, it's the death drinking again. And it is such a difference maker being in program, where I know that I have a higher power that I can turn to that is effective. And I don't need to be the one out there trying to save or be the best mom or the best Al-Anon or the best, look at how good I am and that's going to fix you. Nothing like that. I can place them in God's hands and really know that that's the best place for them. So I want to thank you for your time and for letting me share. We finished working the steps together, and I don't know. I've been sponsoring you how long? We've been together for a
God,
while. It's a few
many years. Yeah. Oh my
yeah. Well,
gosh.
it's less than six,
Yeah.
but is it good four years?
Yeah. I'd
So
say
yeah.
it's going on 4 or 5 now. Hi, everybody. Carla, thank you so much for your share, and thank you for inviting me to speak. And I really got a lot out of your share today. Thank you so much. Just a little bit about me, and thank you for taking up so much time because I don't think I have 20 minutes, but
You do.
I grew up like many of you did, come from a family of great cooks. My mom also enjoyed cooking. My mom was a stay-at-home mom of a blue-collar family. My dad was a welder and he had a side hustle. He was an umpire. The weekends were out at the ball field, my mom cooked great. My grandmother and grandfather helped my mom raise me, my little sister, my older brother. Also, at the holidays, my mom put out a big tray of goodies, also, and all the delicacies that the Italian families put together at Italian meals. And Sunday sauce was fabulous. And so I was very athletic. I grew up very athletic and I enjoyed playing baseball and basketball. And I sang in the choir. I grew up in Catholic school surroundings and the nuns scared the heck out of me. I grew up also very guilty with the Catholic school. Like they only knew how to raise you. And, by the time I got to high school, it was during the time where you were not allowed to dress in pants for school. You can only wear dresses. Well, my mom had to sew all my clothes because you couldn't buy my size. That's how big I was. So my mom would, that's just the way it was. So went through high school. It was miserable in high school because, of course, there were the cute cheerleaders and everything. My best friend was, of normal size, and I was her side friend. And anyway, it was very interesting going from parochial school into public school and learning how to fit in. And I was very painfully shy because I had this armor and I didn't know how to fit in or how to talk. Or so I took a speech class where I had to learn, how to give a humorous interpretation, how to debate, and how to. So I finally broke out of my own shell. So that was interesting. Then I went on to college. Anyway, I ate myself up to fast forward to about 250 pounds where I couldn't control it. And I also found my way to bariatric surgery. And I was sugar diabetic also, and found that that was the only way that I could control myself as well. I had found myself into another program where I said to a member in that program, "What's going on with OA? Would you tell me a little bit about it?" So he told me about the Tuesday night newcomer meeting. So it was on Zoom at that point. So I had started coming to Zoom, and that's where I met up with Carla. So we started coming to the Zoom meetings. So that's where I got my first introduction to it. As it turns out, when you're carrying that much weight, my cartilage in my hips started wearing out. So I had to have hip replacement surgery. So in the hip replacement surgery, I wasn't recovering good enough with the hip replacement surgery. And I was telling my doctor, this isn't working. I'm always in pain. And the doctor wasn't listening to me at all about this hip replacement. He did all the scan, the bone scan, that needle aspiration. In a year's time, he finally decided what happened with this hip replacement surgery is there was an infection deep within the joint that the joint had pulled away from the apparatus and my hip replacement failed. So I had gone through 2 years of a failed hip replacement to where I had to have antibiotics intravenously. My husband had to administer them. And, if it wasn't for Carla, I don't know what I would have done because I had given myself such a complex thinking, I'm just going to be a monster. And Carla talked me down. I mean, I'm really going high level because I'm just skimming over it. So much she has done for me. I had, like I said, I saw myself as a monster. And Carla says, "Why don't you just take one day at a time and see where this takes you?" And sure enough, after all of the antibiotics were administered, I was able to walk again. And it was just quite the miracle because my husband really is not of a medical background at all, but he was able to give me the medicine that I needed. In fact, I'm still on antibiotics and I'm like as Carla says, I'm doing the attitude adjustment meetings in the morning. I'm doing the Saturday meetings. I'm sponsoring now. At one point during my recovery from this hip replacement surgery, Carla says to me, "Well, don't you think it's time for you to start doing meetings in person?" I said, "Well, I always do as suggested." So I did, and I tell you, it has upped my game 100% because once I started going into the rooms and started seeing the people who I not only just see on Zoom, but actually get in there and grab a hug, I'm telling you, it's just been the best. So I've really enjoyed OA. I haven't, I did get to experience being free from sugar, but I had a bad experience at Christmas time, and I let go of my recovery. I haven't been able to get it back, but I'm sure I will. One day at a time, I'll get there, I'm sure. I was able to go to the OA birthday party last weekend. It was a great experience for me. I'm just enjoying it. I really am. Some of the things that I take notes during the morning meeting. I'd just like to read a couple of things that I've written down recently. It says, one thing I wrote was, "There's a miracle with your name on it." I've written, "I can't do this, but you can." Leave a bit on the plate for God and pray that it's enough. I like that. Earlier, I was reading, someone had said to me once, "Don't let anyone steal your sunshine." Also, I was told, "Competition is for horses, not artists." Oh, one thing Carla told me, "Do I see myself the way that God does?" No, I don't. And sometimes I have to tell myself, "Do I see my husband the way that God sees him?" No, I don't. So, I mean, I'm getting a lot. I'm learning so much in OA. I think it's making me a better person. I have a daily reprieve contingent on my spiritual condition. And thank God every day is a new day. And I just get so many blessings. I just get to look and expect miracles, and I get them. It's just beautiful that way. That's all I have. It's just the best program. I've just been really lucky to meet good people. Thank you.